Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a herd of speeding turtles.
I like turtles.
All right, you're great zombie.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of The Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. He is in Arizona. He is The Score's baseball expert. Always a joy to talk to Bruce. Bruce, good morning.
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning, guys. Great to be speaking to you after both camps opened yesterday. What side of Arizona would you like to start on?
Well, let's go to Glendale because that's where the expectations appear to be the highest. James McCann announced the Sox were thinking World Series, and that's not something that you have heard around White Sox clubhouses in recent years, Bruce.
No, it isn't. But when you see the first day announcements by Rick Hahn about injuries to two pitchers and Grandal, and then you realize a guy making that statement, McCann was an all-star catcher last year, then you get a sense of that this isn't just rah-rah talk, but it's a guy on a team that has some depth, and that depth's going to be tested right away here with, you know, some of the people injured initially in camp. Hopefully it's nothing that's going to last past early March and everybody will get their work in and be ready for opening day. But that's the key to any team. You know, when somebody goes down, is there somebody to back them up?
What's when you start talking about a team like that and we start talking about pitchers and who's going to be part of the starting rotation and who's going to be held off? What number do you imagine for Michael Kopech in terms of the number of innings that he will eventually be pitching?
In the season, you know, or down here, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
In the season. I mean, will there be? Yeah.
Well, I think that the number is probably about 130, you know, somewhere around that. I mean, he had already accomplished getting his innings up before the Tommy John surgery. And now you're a year and a half away from Tommy John. It's more than that. I mean, the surgery was in September of 2018. So they've been very cautious with him already. He's been throwing a long time. He was throwing last fall, you know, not at full throttle, but still, you know, he should be good to go. But they're not going to blow past, you know, 130, 140 innings, I don't think. So skipping guys, having depth in the rotation, starting him in May, most likely staying away from the cold weather start for him and some of the other injured players in baseball, I think that's the way you're going to watch it go.
You know, Bruce, yesterday we heard from Ronaldo Lopez, and I think he spent an interesting offseason. He mm-hmm. changed agents, I believe. He went to CAA, and he moved to L.A. over the offseason to kind of work with the sports psychologist. And I find that interesting because last year we heard a lot about how a veteran, Ivan Nova, kind of worked with Lopez and kind of keep him, you know, kind of taught him how to be a professional. And that was kind of a guy he in a mentor's kind of role. And Lopez has got amazing talent, but he always had that sort of one or two innings or maybe one or two bad starts that made you wonder what exactly you had here. Where do you think he is mentally and how big of an offseason was this for him?
Well, he admitted after about three questions about what did he do physically and mentally, he generally answered, and then he went in depth after the third question, saying that he worked with mental skills people. He worked at CAA with guys like Giolito and Syndergaard, and he worked on his fastball grip. And so there were both mechanical and mental changes that he made. Reluctant to talk about it initially, but got into it in depth later on and really kind of laid it all out that, you know, he had lost his way mentally last year, and that he also has improved his grip, he believes, on his fastball. So the command will be different. The stuff was never questioned. I mean, look, you saw 188 innings in 2018. You saw 19 games that were quality starts. Last year dropped to 13, and after the first 6 weeks of the season, he was a lost guy. So this is the maturity of a young pitcher, and they're going to need him to step up. He's going to have to be a top-of-the-rotation pitcher with his stuff for the White Sox to be competitive.
Carlos Rodon is at camp and playing long toss. What role does he come back to? I was saying to David, and he doesn't. He thinks he'll definitely be a starter, and I was saying, would it make sense to try to throw him into some sort of a bullpen type role, some kind of a, you know, Andrew Miller type role / Josh Hader, whomever?
You know, I don't think that would work for him at this point, Mike, unless they started him that way in his rehab. And by that I mean, it's a different mentality for a guy that was an All-American pitcher, a top draft pick, always a starter in his career with a starter's mentality, and only a year and a half away from free agency to go into the bullpen. That might be the prudent thing to do, as you point out. But as far as who he is, he thinks himself as a starter. I think they think him as a starter. So I think that's where he goes. As far as when he shows up, whether it's July and he's ready to go, I think it's going to be as a starting pitcher.
You know, back to the Cubs over in Mesa, Bruce, big picture, it's about the little things, isn't it? It's about the attention to detail. It sounds like it's going to be a spring training devoted to kind of putting some structure into the where it lacked last year, and David Ross is in charge of that. Cubs are talking about having a chip on their shoulder. You buying it?
No, I mean, you know, Rizzo, a couple of them said so, but Rizzo said, we haven't earned a chip on our shoulder. That's how far we have to go to regain our credibility. I thought that was an interesting look at it from Rizzo, the fact that, you know, teams that have chips on their shoulder are teams that, in his opinion, probably made it to the playoffs and got deep and didn't win the World Series. The Cubs didn't get there. So for him, 84 wins and not the playoffs is a total failure. They have more ways to go than just a chip on their shoulder. They have to prove their credibility again. And I believe that. I believe with that philosophy from Rizzo that this team has a ways to go to regain its confidence and its ability to be one of the top teams in the league. It had two failures in September in a row where they were both years they were in first place going into that in that month. So there's a lot to prove for them. And I think just a chip alone is not it. They have, as you guys said, a lot of work to do. And I think Ross is the guy that's going to make sure they get it done.
Who is the center fielder? Is it Happ at this point? Elmora Jr.?
Who's
the answer.
No, I mean, you guys, it's Elmora.
Okay.
And it's Happ. And I think they're going to battle it out. Elmora probably doesn't have the upside with power and OPS ability that Happ has. So I'm going to give, if it's this group of outfielders, I'm going to give Happ the edge because of his ability to hit from both sides and hit the ball out of the ballpark. Elmora is a very good outfielder who is more of a line drive hitter. I think it'll be an interesting competition. But, you know, I think Happ might have the edge because of the OPS ability. He came back pretty strong last year at the end, albeit the end of September, where people always say doesn't really count that much.
When is Chris Bryant expected, Bruce? And when he gets there, if the Cubs do go into the season and he remains, you know, in a Cub uniform, it sounds as if David Ross likes the stability of having a more conventional everyday lineup. Does he play less in the outfield and more at third base?
You know, I don't know that. I've asked Ross twice in the last, yesterday, and I asked him, earlier at the Cub convention whether the role is going to change for Brian. He said, no, I don't expect it to. And then I said yesterday, you know, have you talked to him? No, I haven't talked to him yet about his role, but I don't expect his role to change. So that probably means third base. That probably means that batting anywhere from second to fifth. But there's still that chance that Chris Bryant will be asked to lead off. And although Rizzo has had the most success in that role, Bryant's the guy that can run. Bryant's the guy that can score from first on a double. Bryant's the best base runner on the team. He's not the most exciting, that's Baez, but he's the best base runner on the team. He brings on-base percentage. He walks a lot. That might be a shock out of camp that Bryant ends up there, but no one has confirmed that to me as of yet. So there's no other person that you look to in that lineup on that team right now and say, you know, is he going to be the guy? Is Jason Kipnis going to win a job and be the leadoff man? There's a lot of ways that Ross can go at this point in time. We'll just have to see how it shakes out.
You look at their pitching staff, and you know, it seems pretty good. If Lester can hold up, right? If you got Darvish, you got Hendricks, you got him, you got Q. Is it Chatwood then? And how good is he? And are you worried about him? And would he end up? Could it be Mills, Alzolay? What? Who's the fifth starter? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you said them all there. It's going to be Chatwood. Tommy Hotovy confirmed that a couple days ago. Ross, you know, pretty much saying so that he's going to get the first shot at it. And, you know, cleaning up his mechanics last year and pitching in numerous roles. I mean, he was the jack of all trades for that pitching staff last year, pitching mostly out of the bullpen but making some spot starts. You know, this is a guy that was brought in, signed in December of 2017 for 3 years and $39 million to be an impact pitcher on that team. And he's back to being a confident pitcher and a guy that can get the ball over the plate. The stuff has always been pretty electric. So he'll get the first shot, but you said it right, Mike. It's going to be Alzolay. It's going to be Mills. It'll be the sixth and seventh waiting down the line in case there's an injury or in case there's a failure in the case of Chatwood.
What else stood out about yesterday at Sox camp, Bruce, with Ricky Renteria talking?
Well, you know, mostly that there's a feeling there among with him and the rest that this is a team that is to be taken seriously. They take themselves very seriously. Even in the bad years for the Chicago White Sox, you always heard people talking about them fighting to the very end. And, you know, it's kind of cliche sometimes when there's a team losing 90 to 100 games that they fought to the very end and they lost. But I think that momentum is built to the point where these young players expect to win now, and they feel that the guys to the right of them and the guy to the left of them in their clubhouse can help them win. And I think you're seeing a gaining confidence there. And I think that was reflected in some of the ways that the Ricky talked and you saw the players go about it. But, again, we have 35 more days to go here in spring training.
Bruce, thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.